Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. A quick explanation before we get started. So we had already recorded episodes 12 and 13, and then I accidentally deleted them, like, entirely. Yes, I am very embarrassed. So after much wailing and gnashing of my teeth, we decided just to start over where episode 11 ended and record a completely new episode 12, letting it go in its own new and very different direction. But that's why there might be times in this where our memories are a little hazy about what has happened and what has not happened. And hey, if you're a member of our Patreon, patreon.com/mysterycounty, we'll be posting a special recap of those lost episodes, sort of an alternate timeline of Mystery County, which is already an alternate timeline. Look, the time is wrong, she must be served. Anyway, here's a quick catch-up on what happened last time. The club had to get some ingredients together for Crashly's exorcism, and it went about as well as you'd expect. CEJ is haunted by the ghost of Chet Gibbons, the man that he denies that he killed, and after having a premonition, he went and stopped the Valentine's dance by setting off the sprinkler system of Queen Latifah's School for Gifted Girls. Adam worked up the nerve to ask Shamanda to the Valentine's dance while they were out in the parking lot helping to set up for the exorcism. She panicked and said she'd go with him and Paul, who was pretty disappointed by that development because Paul was pretty excited about the dance. Susan struggled to keep all the plates spinning and keep her eyes on Crashly, but eventually she got pulled away from the lair and Crashly got out. Crashly being, of course, infected by a lust demon. Paul was the only one who found her, and then Crashly bullied him into doing an exorcism completely by himself. It went very wrong, and the lust demon possessed Crashly completely, and then beat Paul into a pulp, ran into the parking lot, and lit all of the school buses on fire. Assistant Principal Bridges showed up at this point and was going to cause even further trouble, but Adam's solution was to wipe her mind. Then the devil showed up again, this time fought some entity named Layla for control of the demon that was inside Crashly, and throughout this fight, somehow Crashly managed to end her possession, get the demon destroyed, and find out some more about this entity known as Layla. Then Susan banished the devil for about 30 minutes. Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of high school hijinks and cryptid conundrums. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hey everybody, I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott. My character is Shamanda Felt, the Crooked, and I let the dogs out. I did.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and my character is Adam Miller, the Monstrous. In the words of the band American Hi-Fi, I'm just the monster of the week.
Hi, I'm Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, who is for the first time considering maybe she's into new metal.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claire Linick. I play Susan Wexler, and I think it's time for me to finally say, I don't find David Letterman to be that funny.
Hey guys, it's Alan Linick here. I play CEJ, formerly the mundane, but freshly the spooky, because bustin' makes me feel good.
So where we left off, Adam is helping the firefighters in the parking lot put out the school bus fires. Susan, Shamanda, and Crashly have gone inside the school with Assistant Principal Brixton Bridges, whose mind has been wiped. They're going in to deal with her and to take care of a badly beaten Paul who is still in the lair. CEJ is in the boiler room staring at the sprinkler system that he has successfully axed to death. And you all have 30 minutes until the devil comes back. So, with that, One thing I want to go over just right now is where everybody is at emotionally and physically in terms of your characters. So just to go down the list, right now, Shamanda is bruised. You are at -2 harm and you are afraid. You are still feeling the fear from the intensity of your relationship with Adam is still kind of riling you up, and that has a hold on you. Adam Miller, you are at 3 harm. You are bloody currently, and you are still feeling guilty right now from what CEJ said to you about how this was all possibly your fault and that you kind of caused a lot of this situation. Crashly is aces. Crashly is free and clear.
I want to say Crashly might have the guilty condition after coming out of the possession, but I don't know.
I think you can take that. Makes total sense to me that Crashly would be feeling pretty guilty remembering what she did to Paul, since Crashly knows everybody else might think that it was the lust demon doing everything, but Crashly knows almost everything that happened was Crashly doing it and using the lust demon as an excuse.
Wow.
Crashly's words. CEJ is broken currently. CEJ is at 4 harm, which is not good. That means at any point he can incur additional harm whenever it makes sense to me to do. And he is feeling very insecure because of the multiple chunks of hair that have been cut out of his head by Susan.
Yeah.
So his haircut is just to shit right now, and he is not feeling good about it.
It's not super noticeable, though.
I'm sure it's not.
That it's not super noticeable.
Yeah,
it's
and CEJ still has not found somebody to give a cell phone that he can use to take a picture of his hair, so he still doesn't know what it looks like.
That's right.
Susan, at this point, Susan has healed herself up a little bit. And actually, I take that back. CEJ, you healed yourself up a little bit as well. So you are at 3, so you are no longer unstable. Because Susan gave you the sprite with the tears of the Pope in it to heal you up.
Right.
Susan. Yeah. Susan is at a 2. So you're bruised and you are afraid right now. Your fear coming from you promised to keep these kids safe and it is spinning out of your control at every single step. So you are pretty freaked out. With all of that being said, let's start out with Susan, Shamanda, and Crashly.
Okay, well, ladies, we got to get this. We got to get Miss Bridges here. It's Miss, right?
Yeah.
Miss Bridges.
Yeah.
We got to get Miss Bridges here to safety.
I pushed down the hallway, opened the door, and her office is nice. Look at this crushed velvet.
Yeah, this looks like one of those couches in a fancy bathroom, like in a really fancy restaurant at a hotel.
And you know, of course, that this office is shared with Principal Norton, who had his memory wiped by Adam, brought back by Susan, and he is there, and you can see that he has sort of come almost fully back to himself, and he says,
hey, Susan, that boy, Adam Miller, oh no, we gotta do something, he's a monster, Susan, he's a monster.
What are you talking about? You took a bad fall and you hit your head.
Yeah, you were putting up streamers and you fell off that ladder. You
knocked down Miss Bridges.
I'm going to say roll to manipulate someone, Susan. And it sounds, Shamanda, like you are helping.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this has worked before.
So, Shamanda, you can roll to help out while Susan rolls to manipulate.
I got an 8.
That's going to be another 8 on top of that, baby.
Okay, so then Susan will get a 9 total. Shamanda, you are exposing yourself to some trouble as a result of your participation, but you do bump her score up. And Susan, let's see here. So you got a 9. He'll believe you, but only if you do something right now to justify why he should believe you.
And look, I've got bruises from trying to catch you. And I show my bruises from, like, the other actual bad stuff that's been happening.
Yeah, and he's like, I never hurt anybody. Certainly not intentionally. Oh God.
Oh, I'm not mad at you. I'm just glad everyone seems to be okay and nobody's in trouble.
Oh God, Philip, what did you do?
Mrs. Wexler, don't tell him about the school buses that he did.
What?
Hey, Crashly, it's Miss Wexler. No one's going to tell him about the school buses.
What? Okay. What do you mean the school buses?
They're all on fire.
No, Phillip. The discrepancy is she said Mrs. and I'm not married, so it's Miss.
I was just taught to call my elders Mr. or Mrs. That's what my mom taught me.
No, I know I wouldn't have. Wait a minute.
You're
telling
me
there's fires? There's school buses on fire?
Yeah, and this is all your fault.
Oh, this is all my fault when I'm looking at one of the worst known arsonists we've ever had come into our school, and he's looking dead on at you, Shamanda. So he has completely bought that.
Oh no!
What happened before? It seems that he bumped his head or something, but pushing the school buses on is making him be like, "Hold up!" And he's looking at you, Shamanda, and he's like, Ms. Felt, I seem to recall that there was some threats levied about burning down school property before. Is that
incorrect? I am a child, sir. How dare you accuse me of such a heinous act?
I know you'll find, if you search her clothing and hands for soot, you'll find none, sir. But if you search your own, I think you should search inside your own heart. Because you created an environment where you're setting things on fire and then accusing kids of it. Like, I'm going to call CNN.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You do not go to this school, as best as I can recall here, young lady.
That's right.
So, Susan, why are you bringing a kid from another school into the halls of the school here after hours?
We're all focusing on wild things when we are literally holding an unconscious lady right now who needs a little help.
Shamanda uses her telepathy to force him into his seat.
Oh. So you're just giving him a hard sit-down message?
Yes.
Okay, that is going to be a role all its own. So, well, no, he's pretty...
His brain has been scrambled twice.
Yeah. So I think he finds himself sitting down on the crushed velvet next to the slumped over assistant principal Bridges. And he says,
maybe I'm getting out of hand here, but I'm sorry, kids. I'm going to have to call the Crammos on this one. All
right.
No,
you're not
going to
do any of that. You're going to stay right here because you're not in charge anymore. We are.
Whoa.
Okay. Shamanda, you are going to now try to manipulate someone. So roll plus charm.
Plus charm is going to be a 7.
Okay. He will believe you, but you need to justify it. So you need to justify to him that basically you have to prove that you're in charge now.
Using my charlatan, I'm going to, my power to like make it look like I have a ball of flame in my hand, a fireball.
Ah, it is magic. It is true. Susan, yeah. It's all true.
If it is true, then it would behoove you to shut up and let us handle it. Because obviously, you let it get out of control. You fell on Miss Bridges, and you set all those buses on fire. You're not in charge anymore.
Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I'm a good man. Okay, I don't know what you are, but I don't want to be hurt. Please.
No one's going
to
hurt you.
I don't mean to make the situation worse, but. Can I put Mrs. Bridges on this couch? I know it's very nice. I wouldn't want to, but there might be some drool.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's drool proof. I mean, it's school furniture. We get that. That's one of the first treatments we get.
Oh, you're kidding me. You got to give me a catalog. I love this.
And he's like a little bit pulled back, but the presence of Shamanda, who at this point he believes to be some sort of like demonic witchcraft entity, is completely pinning him to his seat, and he's just like, I don't know what you are. I don't know why you're cursing us with your presence.
I'm literally a student.
Please
yes,
don't
I...
hurt these kids. Please don't hurt them. You can take me instead. I'll do whatever you need. Just please.
No
spare
one is
going
to hurt you at all. Literally, I'm a multifaceted student. Okay. Yes, I may be a demon, part demon, but I'm also a young girl just trying to get an education. And you're really messing up my Saturday. So if you could just stay here and look after this woman while Miss Wexler and Crashly and I handle things, we would love to have the dance start promptly at 5.
Okay, whatever you say, for sure. Happy
kids
to
and
do
their
it.
Dances, am I right?
Yes, we are all laughing. Susan, are you okay?
Listen, I just think that maybe you have a small concussion and you just got to take a small rest, and I'm just going to do some work here on... Mrs. Bridges, and I'm just going to I guess, steal his voice, first of all. And then second of all, start to get him. I'm going to start to revive Mrs. Bridges.
Okay. So you're just kind of doing the same magic that you did before to pull her memories back together?
Yeah, 100% remember that spell.
Yeah, it was just a remember me spell. You tapped on the fingers, on the thingies. So, yeah, I mean, you're good at that. I don't see this as being something that we necessarily need to roll for. You steal yourself. You're not trying to hide it, obviously, because he's seen it all before. And so you can feel she is coming back to herself. She'll probably have her memories back within the next hour or two, same as him. For the moment, you guys are fine. Just to clarify, Principal Philip Norton is completely terrified of Shamanda. He will not cross her on any level because he is completely terrified of her. He believes everything that has happened is because of this demonic presence that is her. So for the moment, you guys are free and clear. He's not going to go against you. That's probably going to cause problems down the road because the principal of your school thinks you are a demon.
Well, I just think that means a clear path to graduation. That's what I hear.
I mean, probably. We'll see what takes place. With that being said, you guys do know that Paul is still very badly beaten and in the lair. So I'm guessing that's probably where you're headed next.
Yeah. And what's Shamanda's condition again?
Shamanda, you mean emotionally or physically?
Do either one of them have condition? Crashly or Shamanda?
I have emotional conditions and I'm hurt. I'm bruised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to give them a little pep talk on the way there.
Okay, what's that?
Just, you know, kids, this has happened before. It's going to happen again. It all has to do with monster hunting. And I got to say, I've never been more proud of two people in my life.
Aww. Wow,
you
okay,
have done
Susan.
Really good work here.
That sounds like you're dealing with the feels, Susan. So go ahead and roll plus weird. We'll see how well your comfort lands.
Susan, I'm just so glad to see you at the helm of this because for a second there, I thought we'd lose you, and then who would be in charge? Crashly?
No. And I don't think I can handle that kind of power.
I think that if I were to go down, CEJ would probably be in charge.
Oh, yeah.
You kids. You kids. Okay. I rolled a 10.
You rolled a 10. For whatever reason, this helps. You both having somebody to talk to about this and deal with it. You each get to remove an emotional condition. And Susan, you get something from this too. So this is going to give you a plus one. Actually, all of you will get a plus one on your next roll. But Susan, this kind of helps you. I don't think this clears your own emotional condition, but it does sort of, I think for you, since you're feeling fear, it just feels nice to talk to be able to be still seen as reassuring. You're still worried that you're not. This doesn't change your feeling of like, I am an imposter, but it at least is reassuring that they don't know that you're an imposter in terms of being able to take care of them.
Or deepen my imposter syndrome.
Exactly.
But yeah, for sure.
And is that insecurity? The imposter syndrome?
I have afraid right now. Should I switch that?
No, I think you are still. I think it's because you're not insecure in your abilities necessarily. You're afraid of, I think ultimately you're afraid of the relationships that you've built. Like you are supposed to be a monster hunter, but now you are also a teenager mentor. And that's a role that is not natural to you and not one that you ever intentionally chose. It just sort of happened. And it is overtly compromising your main objective of being a monster hunter.
Well, I want to say something to Mrs. Wexler, as I call her, as Crashly. And I just want to say, Mrs. Wexler, I feel like I was headed down a really dark path. Like, there's some things that I was thinking about doing and people I was thinking about reaching out to and different colors of makeup I was thinking about wearing and different things I was planning to do with my hair. And I just feel like having you as my role model instead of my shitty mom has really, like, what you said to me today has really set me on the right path. Like, I'm excited to do research. I'm going to throw out this CD single of Drowning Pool's Bodies, and I'm going to get back to the work of the Monster Hunters Club.
Oh my god!
I just hope that makes you feel better.
You know, and there's just three things I want to. Oh, go ahead.
Before we can go further, we just got to see Crashly. Go ahead and roll plus weird. You're trying to comfort Susan.
I rolled a 12.
Nice.
Oh my god!
Wow.
So yeah, Susan, this clears your condition. Susan, this really lands well.
Look at this healing.
Crush, yeah. That means so much to me. I'm not going to use the word daughter, but I will say this. Oh. I am proud to know you. And just please, it's Miss Wexler. And don't say shit, okay?
Okay. Shoot, Miss Wexler.
Shamanda gets on the outside of the group hug. Like, it's clearly between Crashly and Wexler. But I try to get in there, too.
Great. Aww. All of you are feeling emotionally centered and balanced. You each get a plus one the next time you need to make a roll, so remember that. And you all walk into the lair, and it is fucking trash. It has been nearly everything is in it is broken. All of the books have been, like, thrown down. Many of them have pages ripped out. There's, I assume, at some point something that looks like feces. We'll probably find out it's chocolate, but for now it looks like that. And also, there are two other things. One, there are notes everywhere that are all really mean, specific notes being like, I forget what the specific language is, but basically like, me like you, yeah, right. Signed Crashly, signed Shamanda to Adam Miller in the handwriting of Crashly.
Oh, yeah.
Notes like these all over the lair. You guys encounter that and Paul, who is unconscious on the table of the infirmary. We're going to cut over to CEJ. You're in the boiler room staring at the sprinkler system that you have just trashed. And that's really where you are. And Chet's like, okay, what's your game plan here?
Tell me I'm a genius.
You're a smart boy. Yeah, I mean, that was a good idea. I probably wouldn't have done much different.
I shut down the dance. We're saved.
Well, I mean, I don't know that you're saved. Is your friend being exercised?
I gotta tell everyone how smart I am. And I kick open the door, and I start running down the hallway yelling, the dance is canceled!
You see Principal Norton at the end of the hallway. He's not at an angle where he sees you coming out of the room.
Hey, old man!
I'm sorry, son. Can I help you?
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Teacher Guy. I just want to let you know that with all the water damage this school's about to see, there ain't no way no Valentine's Day dance.
Water damage?
No happening. No
more.
What
are you talking to?
And he just runs into the gym, and you just hear him going, no, no, not my gym. Not my gym, my decorations.
Now that he's out of the way, can I see out to the parking lot?
Yeah, you see out in the parking lot.
And I go, oh, no, now it's happening out there instead. And I run towards the flaming school buses.
Great. Yeah, you see some firefighters in the lot. They're spraying it. And you see Adam. I mean, Adam, how are you helping these firefighters?
Just sort of pointing like, yeah, there's one over there, too. Get that fire. But also, like, I'm kind of like really attracted to the fire.
Yeah, right. See, EJ, as you're running up, you see Adam.
What'd you do?
Mainly, well, I just have to specify, CEJ, you see Adam getting dangerously close to the flames.
Adam, I put a hand on his shoulder from behind. I'm like, stop that.
I think I turn around and like let out a caterpillar shriek at him.
Stop that. And I
sorry. Don't do that. I was just making sure the fire was out.
No. Look away from the fire.
And Chet, but on your shoulder, CEJ's like, it'd be for his own good to just let him go in.
No, it wouldn't. Actually, it would be really stupid.
CEJ, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about how you walking into fire would not be good for your health.
I don't want to walk into fire, okay? I just want to touch it.
Just let go of his shoulder, and he'll take care of it. Otherwise, you're going to have to put him down at some point. And I'm just saying, that's going to be a lot harder for you.
I am not going to put him down, and I'm never going to stop touching him.
I think I think we should go meet the others right now, CEJ.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's a good idea because it was my idea. Let's get inside, you goon.
Okay. Hey, CEJ, how you doing, man? I haven't really gotten to talk to you in a little bit. You seem a little off.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. I am all wet, and I am all riled up. Because I just stopped the biggest calamity in the history of Valentines.
What?
I don't remember exactly what it was going to be now, but I had some kind of like wavy future vision. You know what? I don't have to explain myself to you. I'm
You're
saving
right.
your life.
Okay,
let's go.
Fine. Hey,
I start pushing him. I like aggressively start pushing him into the school.
Okay, fine. I'm going.
Can't believe going. You go to this stupid freaking school with all
it's
these
not a
freaking
stupid freaking
girls. Get in here.
And mediocre boys.
Yeah, well, that's what you are for sure, Adam. Mediocre.
Oh, I wish I was mediocre.
You
yeah,
guys
you
don't
do,
yell.
But you do wish you were mediocre.
As you are pushing in, you do pass the door to the boiler room, and there is somebody framed in the door looking and sort of investigating it. And it's odd because it's Tom Nuts from Tom Nuts.
Dude.
What the heck?
Is that Tom Nuts from
Tom
Nuts?
Hey, Tom.
Nuts?
Tom, hey.
Oh, hello.
Tom, you sound different than the last time we heard you speak.
Well, that's my work voice. This is my out and about voice.
You're what? You're creeping around a school voice?
No, I'm not creeping. I was bringing decorations for the dance. A bunch of nets. That's what the principal wanted.
Okay, well, show them to me.
Okay, I hold up two giant nets.
Yep, he has two giant nets in his hand.
I guess this checks out.
What's going on here? Why are the buses on fire? And why are you soaking wet?
The real question you need to ask is, what huge calamity was about to happen here?
Tell me about it.
I don't know exactly what it was, but I do know that it's not going to happen now, because there is no bus and there's no mus.
Now, just, I know that Alan knows, and he's just doing a great job of staying in character. For anybody listening and for our other players, the premonition he had was that Crashly was going to have a Carrie-esque freak out at the Valentine's Day dance and light everybody on fire, including herself, and that everybody would burn up in a horrible flame.
Which they can't do if they're wet.
Exactly. It was a very smart plan. Yeah, so Tom, how does Tom respond to that?
I think he wants to sort of do a read on what's up with this CEJ.
Great. Roll. Yeah. Do a
roll
what's
to
up
kick
with
some
you.
Ass.
You want to kick roll? Ass?
So, and since Tom has not been created as a character yet, you're just going to roll it straight. So
right.
We won't add anything to it.
And this is a charm, correct?
This is
well,
charm,
I guess
it doesn't matter.
Why.
You don't have any. Yeah.
He's not very charming. So he rolled a 5.
Yeah, so you get to ask one of those questions, but CEJ, you're going to lie to him.
Cool, and I'm scrolling down to see what's up with you.
So the questions are, what do you really want? What do you wish I would do? What are you leaving out? How can I get you to blank, and can I actually trust you to blank?
I think definitely want to see what CEJ is leaving out.
Great. CEJ, what's your lie?
So I just tell him a lie now?
Yeah. So he's appraising you and he's just is coming at you with like, what is it you're leaving out about this? And you do not need to answer honestly. I mean, you can if you want. But
I guess what I'm leaving out about this is that there are two kids and one adult that I can see in this hallway.
Huh. Well, yeah. And then you're going to act on that immediately, Tom.
You're right. I should go join the other adults.
That is what I meant by that.
is the dance still happening? Because I have like 30 more nets in my truck.
No, I don't think we'll be seeing a Valentine's Day dance today, Saturday.
So like next Saturday, is it getting pushed back a week? I need to know when I need to deliver the nets.
I don't actually go to this school, but I'm assuming. Huh?
You don't go to this? What are you doing here?
Do you go to the school, sir?
No, I'm delivering the nets. We made that clear.
Oh. Adam, run! And I take off.
And does Adam run?
Yeah, Adam runs for sure.
So they just scatter like teenagers do. And yeah, Tom is left to puzzle over the fact that it seems, and you know, when Norton comes out crestfallen from the gym, he gets confirmation that the dance is in current state. The dance will not be able to happen.
What about next week?
And he's like, we got, you know, we just can't, you know, I don't think we can do the dance this fall.
Wow.
Yeah. And so Tom is really left with the mystery of why do events in Haverford keep getting canceled? First the Fisher Folk Festival and now the Valentine's Day dance.
I mean, I'll tell you what, Tom's business is kind of not hurting, but these are the two big events for Tom's Nets.
For Nets?
Yeah.
Definitely all the fishing. He has left.
Well, yeah, definitely like the fishing festival.
Yeah,
definitely
the fishing festival. Like, the summer bug hunt is all he's got left.
I mean, there's a summer bug hunt. There also is the May the Net Be With You, where it's a Star Wars Nets conglomeration festival.
Oh, the Marie we all know what that Antoinette one is. Mm-hmm. Festival. Where
yeah,
they
that's
just
a
do
good one.
Bodices of Marie Antoinette in nets. It's very
that's
innovative.
One that Tom has been trying to get off the ground.
Yeah. So I guess Tom's going to double his efforts into that, so the Marie Antoinette.
So yeah, you guys, we'll cut back over to the ladies who are in the lair. We've got, you are all there. You've encountered this wrecked out space, and Paul is slumped on the table of the infirmary.
Crashly, you knocked him out so bad.
So it probably be. So I'm going to, first of all, look at all the notes and be like, wow, oh my God, look what the devil did. This is so mean.
Oh, the devil wrote these?
Yeah, I wrote them, but it was when I was possessed and I had no idea what they say. So if you want to read them to me, you can. But otherwise, let's just forget about it.
Shemanda puts a hand on her shoulder.
For you, sweetheart.
I understand what it's like when a demon has you do things against your will. If that wasn't you. I know it wasn't you.
Thanks.
Yeah, no one's mad.
Really?
And honestly, I love your handwriting. I know you've been working on that.
Thanks. I have been working on it. It's always my worst grade.
But I think this kid is dead, though.
No, no.
No.
No,
no, no.
No,
no,
no.
Oh, no. We do need to get him patched up here. And I'm going to start working on what I can do infirmary-wise.
Okay.
But probably best bet to get, if one of you ladies could grab Adam, I think he'd be our best bet here. But I'm going to start chipping away at healing up Paul.
Okay, great.
Shemanda, you should get Adam because, you know, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the dates I have to the dance. I should get a third if I can. Yeah, I'll go find him.
Yeah, you actually don't even need to. Adam and CEJ kind of rush back into the lair.
Hey.
I do pocket the note from that I wrote to CEJ just in case I need it, in case he keeps hassling me to like be his girlfriend, like he's been doing. Uh-huh. So I'm going to grab that just in case.
Great.
Yeah.
Adam, CEJ, I'm so glad you're both here. Adam, could you make me a quick cocoon around
Paul
for sure. Here?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And CEJ, you just keep being you, bud.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Are all the notes gone or just...
Just that one. The rest of the notes are all still there.
Huh. A note for me. What?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Shemanda?
Wait, am I...
Shemanda, the note basically says, I would never like you like that, Shemanda.
I don't think I... Yeah, I think I sort of just say Shemanda, but then I sort of move past it.
Yeah.
And internalize it. And dwell on it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's my name. Middle name is Antoinette. It's really...
Hey, Shemanda, I really wish I could talk right now, but I gotta save Paul's life.
Oh, sure. I'm I'm over here. Yeah, okay. Who am I?
All right, let's put a cocoon over your date's life.
And as you do so, Adam, so you don't need to roll for this. You're just going to start picking up some of the old gym clothes that Susan holds in a pile in the corner of the room for whenever you're around. You start eating them and then regurgitating the threads into a cocoon.
It's really hard to try to be cool around your crush when this is how you do it.
Yeah, it's so true. And as you're doing it and kind of carefully putting it around Paul, his hand falls over. Now, you know, you had Paul's phone. Because you gave it to assistant principal Bridges in the parking lot. He has a phone in his hand. It's Susan's phone.
Whoa.
And as you pick it up and look at it, there has been a text sent out.
Hey, does it say who it's to?
It says, do not contact.
Ms. Wexler?
Yeah.
Who is Do Not Contact?
Okay. Why is that?
I think Paul texted Do Not Contact, and I feel like you're not supposed to contact this person.
That's 100% right. And we've got to wake Paul up now because I got some questions to ask. And I'm going to snatch my phone and see what he sent out.
Wait, do you want me to tear the cocoon off?
No. Keep it. I don't want you to kill him. I want you to fix him so I can talk to him real sternly.
Gotcha. We'll talk to him later.
Right. When he's awake and it's going to be bad.
Okay.
What does the text say?
The text says, I'm trying to think of how he would phrase it. The text says, send help, out of control.
And Paul sent this, correct?
Paul sent it.
Okay, kids. I'm going to level with you. The devil's probably going to be here in 20 minutes.
All right.
And I'm going to guess that Satan is 15 minutes away. Satan being my number one nemesis.
Oh, damn.
But I thought Chet was gone.
Yeah, no, Chet wasn't my number one nemesis.
Tell her not so fast.
Chet wasn't my number one nemesis. He was just like my worst ex.
See, EJ, Chet keeps poking you on the shoulder. Tell her.
Stop.
Tell her. That's what you think.
Stop.
Come on.
Stop.
Tell her. I got some anything. Big news.
Don't.
No, I won't stop, CEJ. Who did you text?
What? No, stop it.
Stop what?
No.
Stop what? Stop
everyone what? Stop.
Okay, but I need to get this cocoon done.
You're going to feel bad until you reveal, you know, secrets are no fun. Secret hurt someone.
Secret, shut your mouth. Secret. Hoo ha ha.
Okay, Dunkaroos, because like I think he's hungry.
Yes. Yeah, you've got Dunkaroos. I've got Dunkaroos.
Is he possessed?
I am hungry. Wait, Crashly, you're not a demon anymore.
No, I'm not. Sorry about all that stuff I said or did.
Wait, what'd you say? Oh, what's this piece of paper on the floor?
No. That one's in my pocket.
Well, there's a different.
Hey, what's
this
piece of paper sticking out of your pocket?
Well, actually, see, EJ, I think you see the one on the floor that is Crashly saying, yeah, right, like I would ever love you, to Susan from Ghost of Chet Gibbons.
Oh. That's right.
And I look over my shoulder to Chet, to where I see Chet, and I'm like, did you write this?
And he's like, I have no idea. I can't even hold a pen.
Can you write stuff?
No.
And I ball up my paper and I throw it at him and I'm like, catch, stupid.
It just goes straight through him.
Get this guy some Dunkaroos.
Yeah, dude, he is crashing hard.
Okay, so I'm going to pass him a pack of Dunkaroos, but I'm going to whisper kind of under my breath to him. Are you haunted?
No. I'm hungry.
You haunted, buddy?
No.
Okay.
Give me those.
You could tell me if you were haunted.
Nom, nom, nom.
No, Susan, no, you can either investigate a mystery or do a what's up with you if you want to try to either figure out the truth or force the truth. But you don't have to do either if you don't want to.
I mean, he's haunted. But yeah, let me do an investigate a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a blood sugar thing with him? Or is it like, is it insulin? I don't understand.
He gets really cranky.
So I got a 12.
Oh, yeah. So you can ask me two questions and I'll answer honestly and with good detail.
Okay, one second. Let me see the questions.
Really, you can ask any two questions you want.
Okay.
God, he ate it so fast. Ugh. Uh-huh. He unhinged his jaw.
So I'm going to ask basically, who are you speaking to?
Yeah, so you know, probably the first question is he haunted? And the answer is,
are you haunted?
Absolutely, yes. 100%. Now, who is he speaking to? Like, who is haunting him? Yeah, I think the way that this works out is the way that he is talking and the way that he is bickering reminds you so much of how you, especially at the end of what your relationship with Chet was like. Like, the way that you and Chet would bicker about things is, it's just the same. Specifically, CEJ, Chet keeps being like,
No, look, you need to be better about communicating what you're feeling out to these people. That's what's important. That's where you are failing, young man.
Well,
that
is
really
where hard for me to communicate with them when you're talking to me at the same time.
Hey,
and that Susan is like, I know exactly who is haunting him. Yeah.
There's only one man who could drive anybody this crazy, CEJ. And I'm just going to turn to where I saw him throw paper and be like, Chet, you leave this kid alone.
What? My dad?
What?
Huh?
Whoa. Oh. Tell her I love her.
It's time for me to come clean. I'm crazy.
I knew it. I knew he was crazy.
That makes sense. Yeah.
No, I mean, calling someone crazy is a bit dismissive, but yeah, sure.
Not crazy.
You.
Well, okay. Haunted. You're haunted.
That makes sense.
With the ghost? Haunted.
I think Chet Gibbons has some unfinished business from when Susan killed him. And
what?
That is why he has been following me from the spirit world.
Oh my god, he still thinks Susan killed him?
This is really sad.
This is really sad.
What?
Good job,
are you guys talking to each other or to me?
Good share. Thank you for sharing.
Hey, CEJ, why don't you just sit down for a little bit and finish those Dunkaroos, buddy?
I'd love to, but someone's taking up the whole chair.
Chet?
Oh, you can just sit, bud. He's not real.
I'm not going to sit on Chet.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah, then I'm not about to go in.
Hey, but also remember, you promised we could watch a Mel Brooks movie. So
I did. Was that in an episode that people will know, or is that one that was lost?
Oh, I will not ever reference anything that was lost.
Okay, because some of that's blurring together in my head.
No, backseas. You can't try to tell me that is canon. You offered to me.
What are you talking about? Episodes?
I did say we could watch a Mel Brooks movie, but only if you stop bothering me and all you've done since then is bother me.
Said,
so guess what?
You said
we're
watching
Clueless
again. No, Clueless.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that Paul Rudd, he don't got a career.
I only have 3 DVDs and you done screwed up, so we're watching that one.
CEJ, if you want to get
Can
rid
I
of
come
Chet,
over?
Just tell him he's not as smart as he thinks he is. He'll leave every time.
Crashly.
Uh-huh.
You can come over, but only if like other people come over too, because I don't want you to get the wrong idea like you did last time.
You mean when you tried to give me a promise ring and asked me to basically marry you? Or
I did not do that, and there are several witnesses who are here who can confirm that that is not what happened.
I don't think I was there.
We were alone in your car, which is not really a comfortable situation for me right now. So,
oh my gosh.
And it's at that moment that Paul jerks up.
I punch him. I panic and I punch him in the mouth.
Roll to kick some ass.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
Tyler, can I do... I think I'll do never again.
Okay, so you're just getting in between?
Yeah.
Wait, here's the question, though. The only person that you can protect in this situation is Paul.
Yeah.
So you're protecting Paul.
I think that I've been so weirded out by what CEJ's doing that I've been like inching towards him. So I'm just sort of like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Great. So go ahead and roll CEJ and tell us what the result is.
Yeah. I got a 7.
Okay. So on a 7, you and your target inflict harm on each other. So Adam Miller, you have an automatic 10 on this. So you are going to take whatever harm CEJ is going to deliver, but you also can choose an extra effect, which is you take less harm, all impending danger is focused on you, you inflict harm on him, or you hold the enemy back.
I don't think I can take the suffer less harm with this.
You're right, you can't.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to hold CEJ back, like sort of like
get
him in a big old bear hug.
Yeah, and CEJ is... Well, unless CEJ is going beyond physical limits, you naturally aren't like a pugilist. So it would be zero harm that you are taking as CEJ is sort of just slapping at you hard. But it does poke you in the eye. So
ow! Ugh.
I think your eye gets scratched.
Oh, my cornea. Fuck.
Yeah. So that's going to make seeing a little difficult. But other than that, CEJ, Adam just grabs you.
Ow, get off me. What's your problem?
Listen, man, you're freaking out, man. Okay, I'm just going to
look. I'm freaking out?
Yeah.
You're all monsters. You're all terrible people.
Hey, Paul. Sorry.
Hi, Paul.
So welcome sorry. Back,
this fucking guy.
I was
and that's
mad.
Where we'll end our session. Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this, give us a rating on iTunes, tell your friends, or even better, join our new Patreon, like our new favorite monster hunter, Mitchell Daly. Mitchell, thank you so much. We are so excited to have you as part of the club. Until next time, watch out for the goonch.
I think every time Paul has ever showed up, I've said this fucking guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. This guy sucks. I should have let you punch him. I'm sorry.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.